All right. Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and we're here for our first official nutritional endocrinology practitioner training monthly coaching call. We generally have two of these each month, and for the month of April, because there was a tight schedule and we're all going to be getting together next week, or most of us getting together next week for our retreat, what we decided to do is do both of the calls actually on the same day. When I did the poll of you guys, it turned out that not everybody, there's no way that everybody can make the same time. So we're doing one this afternoon and one this evening. You're certainly welcome to come to both if you want to, but it's mainly intended as just a repeat, just so that we cover everybody's bases. On an ongoing basis, it looks like from the way that I've got the questionnaires back so far, of our two calls that we have, one of those is going to be on Wednesday afternoon at this time, 2 o'clock Central Time, so wherever you are, you can do the calculation. And then another one will be like 2 weeks apart from that would be on Thursday evening at, it's either 7:30 or 8 o'clock, I don't remember exactly. But that's what we're going for because that's what seemed to fit everybody's schedule. There were some people that could make both of those, but there were a number of people, enough people that couldn't make at least one of those that we decided to do it in two ways. The purpose of these coaching calls is for you to basically be able to chat about whatever is up for you, whether it be a particular module that you're working through and you have questions about, whether it be a case that you're working on, a particular client that you're working with that you need questions answered about. We generally try to keep those questions to stuff that is everybody's covered in the program thus far, but we'll actually focus on that sort of stuff at the beginning. So if you have questions about materials thus far, questions about particular videos in the members site, questions about applying what you're learning in the lesson that we're working on to particular cases, those would be the first ones answered. And then towards the end of the call, we'll have time for you to just open any questions. So if you have more advanced type of stuff going on and you're working on a blood sugar issue or you're working on a thyroid issue, I'm certainly open to answering those questions, but I want to schedule it so that people who might feel a little overwhelmed by going into that depth because we're not there yet in the program, that they could bow out at the end of the call and not have to stay on. However, there's always room for learning, and sometimes it's just, even if you're not following along because you don't have the basics yet for that particular body part that one of your colleagues is asking about, it still could be very, very valuable for you to stay on the call and listen. Because what you don't realize is that stuff sinks into your subconscious. So as long as you're not the type that gets overwhelmed when you hear things that are beyond you, that you're welcome to really just suck it all in, because we've got a really wide range of practitioners on here. We've got everybody from MDs and nurses all the way to people who are just graduated from IAN, and then people who have not really had formal training in nutrition but have so studied it on their own that I felt that they were excellent candidates. So, and we had one new person join us this morning. I don't know if she got all her information in time to make it to the call, but her name is Lisa, and she's another person in Europe. So we've got three people in Europe, I think, and South Africa, we've got Canada. So we're kind of spread out, which is great. We're a very diverse group. So one thing I want to point out is that the membership site is not working today, and it's kind of an embarrassing goof, but one of our team members accidentally redirected it. He had set up another redirect that was supposed to go to our Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology website that we're working on, and he was trying to make it easier, and he set up a shortcut to it and redirected it, but he accidentally redirected INE members there. So unfortunately, we have to wait. We went into GoDaddy to try to change that, but the way that GoDaddy works when you redirect a website, it can take up to 12 hours. So it's redirected back, but as the last I looked, I couldn't get it. Now, here's the funny thing about website redirects. Sometimes they happen immediately, and sometimes they happen in one place immediately and in another place 12 hours later. So apparently Stacy was able to get at it sooner than I was, which is usually the opposite. So she said she was back in. I went in and tried, and I couldn't. So if you haven't been able to get on the website, what I recommend that you do is clear your cache. And what you do, I know how to do it on Internet Explorer because that's what I use. You go to History, and then it says Clear History, and then it gives you a list of things you can choose. I usually choose Clear Cache, and that clears out the memory of a lot of those redirects. So sometimes the redirect took place, but your computer is remembering it differently. Sometimes it requires shutting down your browser and reopening it. But the intent was for it to be back up, well, hopefully as soon as possible, but it probably shouldn't be any later than this evening, which is unfortunate because we sent you out an email and we just uploaded new content as of yesterday and the day before, and we wanted to make sure you got that content. And unfortunately, it's technology gremlins here at work. So I tried to find an alternate way to get in the back end, and I was unsuccessful. Tried to call upon my skills as a computer programmer, which was my olden day previous life job, and I just couldn't figure out how to trick it and get in through the back way to send you a link. So unfortunately, this is a time when we're just going to have to be patient. We did upload the Module 1 video, first part of the Module 1 video, or there's three videos in Module 1, and we uploaded the first one and an audio for it. It's about 45 minutes long, and that's what it should have said in the email that I sent out today for you. So as soon as that's up, you can watch it. A lot of it's review for some of you people because I've been reading your pretests, just looking through them, and most of you know a lot of stuff. So there's a little bit of confusion, but it's a great way. I believe pretests are a great way to pre-frame you for what's coming. And so if I've asked certain questions in that pretest, that's got your brain on guard for looking like, oh, that must be an important piece. Let me watch for those answers. So anyway, appreciate all of you taking the time to do those, and I think it's to your benefit to do those pretests. So let's get a show of hands and commenting on the web. Who is already got their reservations and they're all set to come next week for the retreat? And that starts on Tuesday. And I'll talk while you guys are responding. And if you're on the phone, just type, let's do a 5. On your keypad. That'll tell me that you're already ready to go. You got your reservations. You're ready and client. Good. Great. So we are going to, so we also, let's see, Cassandra, Tracy, Eleanor, Jane, and Kate won't be able to attend. That's too bad because you're kind of local, aren't you? You're in Houston. Bummer. And Glenn, I didn't hear from you. And Glenn, you're kind of local too. So let me give you a little bit of just a little background. What we're going to be doing is starting each day with our content at about 9. Breakfast will be served. I heard from about 7:30 till 8:45, or probably all the way to 9 anyway. The location is beautiful. The food is going to be phenomenal. I would highly recommend that you get up and go for a little walk or run before, or do some yoga before, if you're an early person. And if you're not an early person, then we'll have time. We're going to give you ample time on breaks to be able to go out and explore. And we are going to plan on having a few of our sessions outdoors, as long as we don't have anybody with major allergies that would have a problem with doing that. But there's some beautiful, beautiful spots there. There's this really peaceful grotto area with just awesome, awesome stuff. I put out some pictures of it the other day. So we've got a lot planned for you, but this is an experience. This is not just a listen, learn, take a lot of notes. It's really very experiential, and I want it to be really transformative as well. So Mia, I thought you were listed as coming. I see you don't have your hand up. I thought I saw, maybe you answered on the web, but I thought I saw you on the list of people who are coming, unfortunately. Okay, so let's just open up for questions. So the kinds of questions for now might be things about how the program's going to run, might be about how the retreat's going to go, it might be about Module 1, anything at all you have questions about, whether it's content, you probably haven't seen the content in Module 1 yet, so there probably won't be content questions. But anything at all that you might have questions about, I would love to entertain those. And then again, if you're working with clients and you have questions about how to do certain things, how to approach your client sessions, then go ahead and put those in. And the way you do that is you raise your hand. We're going to use one if you have a question. And if you're on the web, you just type in your question into the question and answer box. So go ahead and let's open up. The other thing we could do today, since on our kickoff call, not everybody was there, if you weren't there and you didn't introduce yourself, we'd be happy to do that because I really want you guys to get to know each other. Those of you who come to the retreat, you're going to be good buddies by the end of the retreat. You're going to have a really great support system in place. But we want to include those of you who aren't able to make it to the retreat. We are going to be doing some taping. It won't be like a big formal video production because we want to maintain the calmness and the peacefulness of the retreat room. But what we will be doing is I'm going to be using a brand new microphone that I got that hooks into my iPhone to get an audio recording, and then I'll also have a video, really high-density, good-quality video camera that we'll have up on a tripod because most of the capturing is going to be the audios and the experiential. So if you're not going to make it, we'll share with you after the retreat how you could get the benefit of all the exercises and the things that we did. Obviously, you won't get to enjoy the location, the getting away from it all, the people, etc. So Mia, I just see a little, that's funny, I just see this little picture of a microphone next to you. I'm assuming, does that mean, that's weird. Nobody else has a microphone next to them, just you, Mia. So let me know if you're going to be coming or not coming to the retreat. I thought you were. I thought I saw your name on the list. And I'm going to open it up for Tracy. And I'm going to make sure that I have you. Make sure that you can hear Tracy when I open up her line. I opened up her mic.
Hello.
There you go. Oh, and it looks like Mia.
Hi.
And Tony have hands raised. Great. Hi, Tracy.
Hello, everyone. Happy post-Earth Day.
What's
so,
that about today?
No, I said happy post-Earth Day.
Oh, post-birthday. Thank you.
Earth Day.
Yes. Today is Earth Day?
No, yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. You see, I'm totally out of it. All I'm immersed in is this stuff. Getting ready for you guys.
So I met with someone who had open heart surgery, so she's on blood thinners. Doesn't eat any greens because of the vitamin K, but she feels like she's kind of missing out on a lot of benefits from the vitamins and minerals in the fruits and vegetables, or mostly the vegetables. So have you worked with people that have had this issue, Dr. Rita Marie?
Well, not so much the open heart surgery, but a lot of people are on blood thinners. And it's an interesting conundrum that I see. Many of our herbs and our nutrients, we see the contraindications or the cautions that if a person's on Coumadin, be very careful about this, which says to me, oh, that means that the vegetables or some of the herbs, the omega-3 fats, are actually having some blood thinning effect. They are having the same sort of an effect as the Coumadin. So in my world, and I think your world probably too, you'd be thinking, well, why would you want to take them off of the good foods that are helping the problem that they have that they're using a drug for? Why wouldn't we work with giving them the least amount of the drug possible, the most amount of those foods that create the anticoagulant effect, and then have them be on as little medication as possible? Unfortunately, this is a situation where it's very difficult for us to intervene unless you're a medical doctor working with that case in particular. Because we have to be working with the medical doctor who's on board, and you have to be talking to the medical doctor and say, hey, look, you're telling this person, your patient, to get off of green vegetables because of the vitamin K, and we don't want them to have
excessive blood thinning. But what would you think about reducing their dose of that medication and then having them fill in with all these green vegetables? Because they're missing out on not just the vitamin K, but the folate, the vitamin C, the iron, all the magnesium, all of these wonderful nutrients. But it's a tough situation because you don't want to be legally responsible for even indicating or suggesting that they reduce their medication.
Right.
But she's totally right to be concerned because she's losing all that benefit. So it would be wise for her to have a conversation with her doctor, and maybe if you could educate her on how to have that conversation, or if she's comfortable with you being on that conversation so you can fill in the gaps. But basically, the reason that the K is contraindicated and some of the other herbs, like and even omega-3 fats, are contraindicated for somebody on Coumadin or other anticoagulants is that they do the same thing. They have a synergistic effect, and of course you know what happens. If you thin somebody's blood too much, they can bleed out.
Right.
They could have a hemorrhagic stroke. So it's serious stuff. But it's possible that there are some MDs, and I wish Mark was on the line right now. Mark is our resident MD in NEPT. But I would love to hear his opinion about that as well, on how to have that conversation with the doctor. And Mark is supposed to be at the retreat next week, so maybe we can even get him to help us with communicating with that MD world, because he's bridging that world.
So I have a question then. So let's say that her doctor is open to maybe reducing the medication, but then how do you know how much of the greens, the herbs, the omega-3 fatty acids she should have so there's a nice balance?
Right, and that's going to require consistent tests. There are some tests that they do to check that. I mean, there's platelet counts.
Yeah, she tests every week, she says. She tests
every week. So it would be a matter of talking to the doctor and say, well, could I get really get into trouble in a week? How about if, or maybe we test test twice a week or three times a week for a little bit just to get it titrated. So if the doctor is open to it, it's doable for sure. A lot of them are not willing to take the chance because they don't want to.
Yeah, I know.
So it may require that she would be signing a disclaimer that says that the doctor's willing to work with her on doing this.
Uh-huh.
Here's the risks. Here's what she has to absolutely commit to in terms of testing, and that she will not hold him liable.
She said she recently made a chia pudding that was just chia seeds, a little bit of stevia, and some water, and the vitamin K was through the roof. I'm like, oh, really?
Wow.
Like, I didn't really understand that.
Wow. I didn't realize there was that much vitamin K in those things. That's kind of tough. So they have to be testing more than vitamin K levels, though. They have to be doing functional testing, which would be the clotting factors. So if she reduces her medication, do the clotting factors go to the point where has her blood is too thick and it's coagulated? And it's extreme. So they do have to test that. And there's a series of tests. I don't have those all memorized, but there's a series of clotting factor tests that they do.
Okay, clotting. Okay, I'll look that up. So thank you for that. So my last question is, a mom came to me whose daughter has a hard time focusing in school, and she's having to be redirected, and her diet is gluten, dairy, and sugar. And so
it has gluten, dairy, and sugar. Or is it?
Yeah, that's her diet.
Still has those components in it. Okay.
Yeah, so I think she's been working on, like, reducing, getting gluten out of her diet. I think she just did a gluten intolerance test. But for someone who is, you know, in second grade, like, of course, thinking about and healing her gut, but in terms of a protocol, like, where would you start?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've worked with kids. I've worked with a number of kids in that age group. And Usually it's a matter of taking a thorough history, and we'll be reviewing a lot of the history stuff in the retreat, and you've got that in the pre-work, but that's something that we're going to spend a lot of time on because it's so important. And so I'll do the history and find out about this child. So, for example, you find out from the parents, how many things are you willing to work with this kid at once, and knowing the child, how many things can you? I worked with this family, and they said, well, let's just start with one thing. So I really went through the history. And this was a kid, same thing, couldn't focus. The teachers were saying put the kid on Ritalin. They didn't want to. And what I looked at was this kid also had a lot of asthma problems as a kid. Also had as a baby, you know, as a young child. Wasn't quite as asthmatic these days, but asthma was an issue. Eczema was an issue. And get very phlegmy and mucousy. So I said, if you're going to start with one thing, why don't we start with the dairy? Because it seems like some of those other symptoms are very dairy-like. Could have been gluten. But I told them, I said, look, these are the things that we're going to have to look at. We got to look at having an unprocessed food diet. We got to look at getting them on a lot of good green and vegetable, antioxidant-rich vegetables. We got to get their B vitamins straightened out because the sugar and the processed foods deplete the B vitamins. We're going to look at getting rid of food allergens. The most common ones are going to be dairy and gluten. And of course, sugar goes in with the processed foods. So we can start and give you a process for doing all of this, but that could be overwhelming. So we're gonna start. Right. Based on what I've talked to you about, based on what I've heard from you, it seems to me like gluten is the most prominent one, or dairy. And there was another kid within the same week I had another kid, and I went with gluten because it was after a lot of practice with this, you just kind of sometimes it's just an intuition, and sometimes it's just based on what they're saying. So I went with the dairy on this, and I said, it could be that we have dramatic results, could be that you have a little bit of results, and then we're going to have to do some other stuff. In general, we should be doing all of this stuff, but it's just a matter of helping you to get quick response. So I spoke to the people. They said, well, go with the dairy, and that's the only change they made. And it was hard, right? It's hard when you look at a kid that's on a conventional diet to just say, take away all the dairy, because first of all, the parents don't even realize where all the hidden sources of dairy are. And we give them a handout that shows them. And they did that, 100% off of dairy. They called me up and said, it's like a new kid. And the teacher wrote to them and said, thank you so much. I'm glad you finally considered putting your child on Ritalin. And the parents were like, we didn't put him on Ritalin. We took him off dairy. They were thrilled. And then to reinforce that it was working and that it was the dairy, one day the kids are home. They hadn't made it a dairy-free family yet at the point. So dad's home with the kids. They had a daughter and the son. And he's like, what am I going to feed these kids? He's not usually the one that feeds them. So he opens up the refrigerator and hands them both the tub of yogurt. And about an hour or two later, this kid is going nuts. This kid is just back to the old behaviors. And he sat there going, what's going on? He didn't understand it. The mother comes home and says, what happened? Of course, the mom is the one that thinks, what did you feed him? He says, well, I just fed him, you know, what his sister had. I gave them both yogurt. And she looked at him and she said, yogurt. Do you remember yogurt? Dairy? He's on a dairy-free diet? He said, oh, my goodness. Right? So they took him back off dairy, and he got back to normal. Now, this family, that alone did it. They didn't come back. I mean, they were strapped for money, so they were just looking for quick and easy answers. They did one appointment with me with one suggestion. You know, and I told them what some of those other things would be. Now, I don't know if they ever did the other stuff. This was very early on. I was probably a year in practice because I remember it distinctly. I was still in my very first office, and I was only there for a year and a half or so. So that's how dramatic it can be. Had another child, similar story, but as I listened, I felt like he had a lot of gut dysbiosis. And I wanted to work on probiotics. They were willing to do the probiotics and gluten, get rid of the gluten. The same thing, they did those two things, and the same thing, like night and day on their child. Unfortunately, it's not always like that, right? You've got to work the other things. It could be the mineral imbalances. It could be the B vitamins. It could be all of that. Omega-3 fats are an important one. But start with what feels like the big stone, because then they're going to be willing to do more.
So here's what I thought about her, or think about maybe working with me for a month. So I thought, number one, making sure we're off gluten. Number two, I wanted to get her on a probiotic. I wanted also to look at a good multivitamin mineral supplement.
You might look for that. Sun Warrior has a relatively new one. It's liquid, Vitamin Mineral Rush.
And oh, okay.
Really
let me
nice,
just write that.
Easy to absorb. They could just put it into anything, and the kid will take it, especially for younger kids.
Okay.
They don't like swallowing pills.
And because she was talking about attention issues, as
mm-hmm.
well as she doesn't sleep at night, I was wondering if maybe she should also go on a B vitamin complex.
Yep. Absolutely. And again, liquids are better, although I haven't found a good tasting liquid B, but you can hide the flavor
yeah.
with it, some stevia or essential oils. And
yeah. So I was thinking about just kind of starting there and just of course educating her on all the hidden sources of gluten and
absolutely.
You know, and just working with that for a month, but also because she has such a processed diet, also thinking about trying to add in her mom making her some green smoothies.
Yep. Yep. And
just so she
caution
can get
the mom to make the green smoothies taste really good and to taste them herself, because here's what happened with
yeah.
my kids. I was making the green smoothies. They were loving them, and then I started getting a little, well, I want them to have more greens and less fruit, and I started making them, and they were fine for my palate, but I made one particularly bad one. After that,
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't trust me. They wouldn't take them anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Great questions. All right. So it looks like both Tony and Mia. Now, Tony and Mia, if you have a mic on your phone, I might be able to open you up on the web. I haven't done this before, but I think that's possible. So let me know. Just type in whether you have a mic, because if you do, then I'm going to just highlight you, and I'll make you a moderator or something. I'll see what it is. So Tony does. Okay, good. So I'm going to put Tony on mic. Let's see. If I take Tony and I do set user as a moderator, I believe. We'll see what works. Your camera is going to come on, so if you don't want your camera on, you're going to have to just turn it off, or you can have it on. I usually turn mine off because usually during the day I'm sitting here in my pajamas or workout clothes. So, Tony, you're going to get a little message that says approve whatever, approve the microphone or something. And it doesn't look like it's working. It doesn't look like it's working. Oh, well. I'll leave you that way, Tony, and see if it can come through. In the meantime, I'll look to see. Mia, do you have it? Let's see. No mic. Okay. So Mia's going to call in. So, Mia, I'm going to open you up on the line, and then there's a bunch of questions that were questions that were typed in. So, Mia, I think your mic
Hello?
Is open, Mia. Go ahead. Yeah, hi, Mia.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
Hello from Brooklyn.
Hello from Brooklyn. Woohoo. That's where my dad was born.
Oh, cool. I have a practice question. You know, Tracy kind of inspired me to ask it. So I'm working with someone who's on thyroid medication, which is actually regulating the hypothyroid. So now the THS is in range. The one of the antibodies is at 39.
Mm.
So I guess my one question is, with the herbal protocols or suggestions, you know, do I still look at the columns for hypothyroid, or now that the TSH is in range?
She's got autoimmune thyroid condition with her antibody
at
39.
Yeah, I mean, you consider 39.
And that's probably
in the lab ranges.
Well, the lab range, most of them I've seen has got to be less than 34. But the way I always explain it is, how many bullets do you want shooting at your thyroid? You know, I want mine as close to zero as possible. So anything
right.
above, like, 6, 7, 8, anything above 10 for sure, I say, look,
mm-hmm.
we've got to work on this autoimmunity before it becomes a massive problem, before your thyroid's destroyed. But obviously at 39, it's hurting her thyroid because her thyroid was not functioning properly.
Right.
So the TSH is getting the numbers in range. I would caution you to look at the free T3 and the free T4 to make sure that those are in range as well, that she's actually getting that going. But I would work on the autoimmunity and work on the immune system. And, of course, what's the first thing we do with people with an autoimmune thyroid? Does anybody I think we talked about that at Shine. Does anybody remember that?
Thyroid.
Something to get them off of. Starts with a G.
Oh, gluten. No.
Yeah.
No gluten. Yeah, I know. She says she cut it a lot, but, you know, here and there she can't.
It doesn't matter. It's never going to get well. I mean, that's a point that I will tell people. Even if you have a morsel. There's a really good video. I sent a link to it on my Facebook the other day. I think we were going to put a blog post on it, too, that Tom O'Brien did. And it was about that syndrome of how much is too much. And he had someone who, it was communion. She's Catholic. She took communion. She was 100% gluten-free. She went off communion, and she was a night and day a new person. Okay. Got antibodies? It's got to be 100%.
I think I might have heard that. That was from the Gluten Summit?
Yep.
Yeah, I think I heard it.
Yeah.
Well, I liked in one of your recordings in the pre-information you sent us, one of the questions you have asked us as clients is, how willing are you to give this up or to be dedicated to whatever it takes? Or that's a great question to ask.
It is, because some folks will say, I'll just live with it then. I'd rather live with this whatever pain than to give up whatever. And that's where having really good coaching skills and listening skills are important. So I understand that it's more painful to give up all your favorite foods than to live with this knee pain. But what we're finding is that it's an autoimmune, whatever it is. I'm just making this up. So you have an autoimmune condition. That's what's causing your knee pain. And right now, it's a tolerable level and such that the pain of the knee is not worse than the pain of giving up gluten. But my experience or my education has taught me is that those autoimmune conditions just keep getting worse. So you're causing deterioration that at some point may be so deep that it's going to disable you from being able to walk or do this or do that. And at that point, the pain of the body part is going to be worse than the pain of giving up gluten.
Right.
But you know what? At that point, it might be too late, and it's not going to be reversible. So it's learning to speak to people in ways that are empowering, not related to fear, but more like, oh, I didn't think about that perspective, and to get them to see. But really, I believe, and I used to be a little bit more wishy-washy, okay, it'd be really good if you gave this up, and a little bit's not so good, but now I'll just say, you know what? You've got antibodies. You've got an autoimmune condition. If you're not willing to work on getting rid of this, then I can't help you.
That's a great line.
And it's not like I expect you to do this overnight, although it would be in your best interest to do it overnight. Not that I expect you to do it overnight, but if you're willing to go through it and have me help you and coach you through this, if you're willing to do that, then I'm willing to work with you. But if not, I don't want to work with you because I like to have success.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I can have success unless you're willing to work with this.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And it takes some practice and time. I mean, you just kind of want to help everybody, and you want to be able to, like, be lenient about things and not make it so hard for them.
Right, right.
But, you know, the living with a thyroid condition, yes, she may have it under control. Maybe her energy's come back. Maybe some of the symptoms are better. But it's not solving the problem. It's a Band-Aid.
Right. Right.
Yep.
Thank
Does that
you.
Help?
Mm-hmm.
I know
but
you'll learn to do it in a way that where it feels so loving. And I've had that happen where people will fill out the form and I'll say, how willing are you to do whatever? And it was like, not willing, not willing, not willing. And I'd sit down with them and then I'd send them a video between the time they filled it out and the time they came to see me many years ago. And they came back in and they said, well, I watched your video and I've already given up this. And it was three of the things they said they would never give up.
Mm.
Right? So it's all a matter of how can you educate and inspire them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Take the action.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
great. Thank you, Mia.
Yeah, thank you.
And are you coming next week?
I'm definitely coming.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. But you didn't raise your hand when I said that, so.
I was a little clueless, yeah.
Okay.
I heard you. I just couldn't function.
Just faced it. That's okay. Good. I'm glad, because I thought I'd seen that on the Facebook group that you were coming.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Great. I'm so looking forward to this.
No,
so I'm
going
to look to see. Oh, you're so welcome. I'm going to look to see who else had. Yeah, a bunch of people answered my question. Gluten, yay. And you're going to hear me over and over, and sometimes it just sounds, oh, my God, do you really want me to tell that to people? It's so simplistic. Yeah, it's so simplistic, but I've been doing this for 22 years officially and before that unofficially, and I've seen the miracles over and over. So has anybody had a chance to check out the website to see if it's actually working? Oh, the microphone. Oh, it means louder, so I should raise things up. Okay. How's that? And Rukmini asked about the screen, and she can only hear the voice. Yeah, because we're not sharing anything on the screen right now. We use this as a screen share, and I could share screen if I wanted to, but I like it because it has a really good chat. We might be switching over to the chat that's integrated with the Maestro Conference. But it's a little, I have to figure it out first before we switch over to it. But we might actually do that. Jane said the website's not working. Jane, Kate said she's going to call in. Do you need the number? I can give you a number that I have. It's not that 281 area code. But, please do call in, and I'll give you the number. I'll type it in the chat. The one I use, anyway, 323. There's so many numbers, 393-4046. On the website, we actually have a link where we show you this list. You can go for the alternate numbers. It would be overwhelming to put all that in an email, but they have a lot of alternate numbers, so you can try to find one that's not a long distance. So Tony has a question. So I'm seeing if I can – let me see. Tony – I've got you as a moderator, Tony, but it doesn't look like anything's happened, but you're on the phone. So let me go ahead and open up your line on the phone. My mouth. There we go. Tony, speak. Let's see if we can hear you.
Hi there.
Hi,
can
Tony.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hi there. I'm so happy that we're having this conversation about thyroid and gluten and all that. I have a 68-year-old client I'm seeing tomorrow. She used to be very, very active. And her energy has been declining rapidly over the past several months. I'm pretty sure it's her diet based on the questionnaire. I want to accomplish two things when I meet with her tomorrow. I want to have her do a food diary because I don't think she really has a clue about what she's eating, how much she's eating, when she's eating. Do we have any food diaries that we can recommend or journal that will make it easy for people to use?
Mm-hmm. Yep. When the everybody has a different opinion about what's easy to use, but you're welcome to use mine and tailor it. So on the pre-work module that I gave you guys, like a bonus just to get you started, module one,
yes.
There's a ton of forms in there, and there is a diary in there. I think I actually have a couple of different versions, and I have a Word file version of it too, so you can go in and edit it to your heart's content and personalize it.
Very good. And I want her to walk away being able to do something that's going to make her feel good right away without feeling overwhelmed by the many things. I also suspect she has adrenal fatigue. And I really want her to do the thyroid test.
Absolutely.
Do you think it's worthwhile? I mean, if she can afford it, I'm going to ask her to do it. Would you recommend that?
Yes. I mean, I will say that I recommend thyroid testing, the full thing with the antibodies, for anybody that walks in the door that has any kind of fatigue or you know, anything that looks like it might be related to thyroid, even if it's just constipation that's unrelenting and they're trying all these things and it's not working. I think those antibody tests are so critical, and I find so many people have a hidden antibody test reaction that's been overlooked. And talk about seeing quick changes. I have seen changes. I've seen people go off thyroid medication in 4 months. When they just start doing this stuff. So very critical. very critical. I mean, she has insurance. She might see if she can get her doctor to order it, but through Direct Labs. I have on Direct Labs,
okay.
If you go to directlabs.com/Dr. Rita Marie, Dr. Rita Marie, there's a set of tests. You click on order tests, and then you click on the D, because they give you like alphabet. You click on the D and scroll down to see some of my tests there. Unfortunately,
okay.
Direct Labs doesn't give a full list of what's in those tests, what's in each of those tests.
Okay.
But there is a place on the site. And I think I want to move that to our resources tab when I can get back in. But it's in that the third module of the pre-work, the pre-module.
Okay.
And there's a thing
okay,
that says
great.
Dr. Rita's test panels. So my basic is the comprehensive wellness profile from Direct Labs plus vitamin D. And then my
yeah.
base plus thyroid is that plus the two antibodies. And that's
I can
runs
see
about
that.
179, I think.
It's 179?
I think so. It's hard for me to keep track and remember all these numbers, but I think it's approximately
well,
there.
Okay, that sounds reasonable. She says she has very good insurance, so we'll see if we can get that.
Oh, yeah.
And
you know
right,
what? Even
well.
If her doctor won't order it, oftentimes she just has to contact support at Direct Labs, and they'll give her a receipt that she can submit to her insurance company.
Wow, that's good to know.
Yeah,
okay.
It's very good to know. You know why? Because when people go through their doctors and their insurance, they would charge $400, $500, $600 for that panel, and then they'd have to the patient would have to pay the copay, which could be $150 depending on how their insurance is. Well, they end up paying more when they do it that way than they'd pay the whole Direct Labs fee. And then on top of it, if you get Direct Labs to give the receipt, they only have to pay their 20% or 30% of the $200 versus the $600. So it's
wow.
Really huge.
Okay.
I
that's,
love Direct
that's
Labs.
Very good point.
It is.
Very good. Thank you so much. It's going to be very, very helpful when I talk to her tomorrow. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome. All right. So Cassandra has her hand up, and Kate came on. Let me do Kate because she had made the request first, and then we'll do Cassandra. So Kate, hello.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Great. Well, I have a new client I met with yesterday. He's 35 years old, stable weight for 5 years at 140 pounds, a high-stress job, just lost a parent, has an 18-month-old child at home. He eats very well, but he doesn't sleep very – he's never been able to sleep very well or fall asleep easily or stay asleep, and he has very low energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked him if he'd be comfortable doing an adrenal saliva test. And so I sent him the link for, I think, Canary, because clients can order that directly, and the price is actually pretty good. So I told him to order that. But in the meantime, I evaluated his diet. He eats pretty cleanly, no dairy, but I noticed he doesn't get a lot of protein in his meals, especially earlier in the day. And he's pretty much grain-free, occasionally bread, but not very often. And then it's like Ezekiel, like sprouted, but maybe once or twice a week. So he's got a really clean diet, too. But I thought maybe he needs some B vitamins, maybe he needs some D, maybe he needs some fish oil, maybe he needs some probiotics, just basic things just to get him started. But I'm not really sure where to go after that. What else should I tell him? Oh, and he was a triathlete and had an injury so 6 months ago. So he's not doing any major exercise now. He's just doing yoga and stretching. And he also has a really good meditation practice. So he's trying really hard on all fronts, but he still has a lot of fatigue. And so I think he is just severely stressed maybe from his triathlete days and also
yes.
just from his current lifestyle. So what do I do with him?
Well, so you're on the right track to have him order the adrenal test. I think that's a great idea. And you want to be looking for those high levels of cortisol towards
yep.
the bedtime. And you might even have him do, I don't know if Canary does it, but when I use diagnostics, they allow us to get two extra vials so that when they wake up during the night, they can
mm-hmm.
test it there to see if what's causing
good.
The wake up is cortisol being high.
Ah.
Sounds like it's a lot of stress. I mean, losing a parent, triathlete, having an 18-month-old, there's a lot of stuff going on there. So you're
right.
on the right track with that. He's doing a great job with being gluten-free and grain-free for the most part. But as we said a little bit earlier, even a little bit of gluten for somebody who's real sensitive
yeah.
is going to be problematic.
Oh, he's also undergoing allergy shots. He has severe allergies, and he's always had them, and he's doing allergy shots.
Okay.
And so I don't know how to support that either.
You need to be looking at his gut big time. And when we go through the protocols, we start with gut if there's anything going on there. So looking for indications of low stomach acid, low enzymes, leaky gut. You're right on about that protein. If he needs to, if he's having like a high-carb breakfast, he could be causing imbalances in blood sugar dips and then cortisol elevations in the mid-afternoon. So looking to see what you can do if he's eating. What is he eating for breakfast? Do you know yet?
Oatmeal, but he'll also do a like a spinach and blueberry smoothie. That's pretty much what he does. He eats a sort of a grain cereal. Well, not oatmeal, gluten-free oatmeal cereal.
Yeah, see if you can get him to switch off the oatmeal, because that is high carb, and maybe into a chia porridge or something else like that that's similar, but to take that carb away in the morning and see if that makes a difference. So that's some things to start. But the digestion, the adrenals are great places to start. And talk to him about gluten, about 100%, and at least giving it a trial.
And what brand of probiotics should we put him on?
I personally like the Health Force Nutritionals powdered one. It's called Friendly Force. If he's just wanting to do something locally, you're in Texas, so you might be able to find Blue Bonnet has a good powdered, the dairy-free version of their powdered. I don't like their capsules because they put some stearates in it, but their powder's pretty clean.
If he insists on taking capsules, what kind of capsules?
Oh, he does insist on taking capsules?
I think so, because I don't know if he's going to make a smoothie every day, and I don't know if he'll throw it in there.
Yeah, and probiotics aren't great in a smoothie, just because they do better if you do them more on an empty stomach, or if you have a food like a cashew yogurt, a sauerkraut, something like that, where you've enhanced it with probiotic and really stepped up that that level. So I don't know if Health Force has them in I know that there's one from a really good high potency one from Seeking Health. They have them in capsules.
Okay. And then
but you have to be careful. What's the other one? Natron makes some that you can usually get at Whole Foods. And Renew Life. Renew Life has a good one, but make sure to get the dairy free one.
Okay. And then for vitamin B, does he need complex or just the 12?
Yeah, you don't know that what he needs yet, right? Because you haven't really looked at his blood. You haven't looked at his stuff.
Right.
So is he vegetarian?
No, but he's not vegetarian, but he doesn't eat that much meat. He eats a lot more vegetable than meat.
Okay. Yeah, because, B12 is an issue, you have to be careful with going too fast with B12 as well in case he has some methylation issues. But
right.
I would say B-complex is probably your safest place to start. If you're before you do any testing, if you're just looking at helping him support. The other thing with adrenal stuff, if it does turn out that he has adrenals, I usually give a lot of B5 and B6.
B5 and 6. Okay.
B5. B5, 500 milligrams 3 times a day.
Yeah. What brand do you like?
Pure Encapsulations is a good one. Thorn is a good one. Seeking Health is relatively new, but they've got some good stuff as well. I think we use their pentothenic acid.
And those are capsules or those are liquids?
Those are capsules, yeah. Those are all capsules.
Okay. And then what about a vitamin D? Because everybody's low anyway.
Well, D, make sure you get them tested because D is super important because there's so many variables in vitamin D absorption rate. Some people need none. Some people need 1,000 milligrams a day. Some people need up to 20.
Right.
And going back to who was it that had Tony? Was it the one that had Tony or Mia that had the patient with the thyroid antibodies? But D is super, super critical for that too. So making sure that you look at the D. I would say you don't know how much he needs, so I'm really careful about supplementing D unless I know. If I don't have a test, I'll usually just really go in the 4,000 to 5,000 IUs a day range. That may be not enough, and he may be on that for months and months and not get much of a change, but that may be enough to bring him up. We just don't know until you see his levels. And usually with D, I test them serially. So I'll test them at the beginning. We'll supplement. We'll test them 3 months later. We'll see where that's at. We'll adjust. We'll go to 6 months, et cetera.
Okay, great. Well, that gives me a lot of place to start there. So thank you so much.
starting is usually not the play, not an issue. It's like, what do you do when you hit a brick wall? That's usually where you get stuck.
Well, by the next call, I'll be calling in with, hey, I have the numbers from the saliva test, and then you can help me with that.
Perfect. Yeah, that's what these calls are for.
Thank you.
All right, so we have Cassandra, and I think that Tracy might have raised her hand again. I don't know if I didn't put her hand down or not. And then there's some stuff in the type-ins that I'll go to in a minute. Okay, Cassandra.
Hello, Dr. Rita Marie. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. Excited about next week and connecting with you and everybody.
Okay.
So I have a couple of questions. One is when working with someone with Hashimoto's or adaptogenic herbs, are there ones that you recommend? I know I listened to the call with
the
David
right
Winston,
shine, which is cool.
And I know he said,
for, like, hey, I've got a question.
Okay, hang one second. I got
to
turn
off. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, somebody else's mic I forgot to turn off, and it looks like, okay, there we go. Sorry about that. Yeah, so you work with somebody with Hashimoto's, and you listen to David Winston's call about the adaptogens.
Yes, but I can't remember, because I thought he said there's certain adaptogenic herbs that you don't want to give to someone who has Hashimoto's.
Yeah, I don't recall specifically him saying that, but I know that the ones that can work really well with Hashimoto's, ashwagandha.
Okay.
Very good for just supporting the thyroid real well and supporting the adrenals and the liver and the blood sugar. So ashwagandha is an overall, unless you've got somebody who's just like excessively warm, if somebody's having hot flashes and they're really hot, ashwagandha can aggravate that a little bit because it's a warming herb. But most people who are stressed out tend to run on the cooler side anyway. So ashwagandha is a good one. Studies have been really powerful with CoQ10. And selenium and Romania for Hashimoto's. I mean, if they're low in selenium, just putting them on 400 micrograms of selenium for a few months can reverse those antibodies.
Right? Okay.
And all you want to look at the gut health. Gut health is super important for Hashimoto's.
Right, right. And they have gotten off of gluten. They have completely eliminated it from their diet. So, and they've noticed a huge difference. They've lost like 20 pounds. They are feeling better. So,
fantastic. So it's on the right track, but make sure that you work with them on healing their leaky gut.
Right, right. Another question, DHEA for people with Hashimoto's. Is that recommended? If so, how much? Should they get tested first to see where they are with that?
Absolutely test, because I don't think we should be putting in any bioidentical hormones, even if they're over-the-counter, unless there's an indication, because you can throw things off with DHEA. But if they're showing low adrenal function, and if you do an adrenal stress test and you see that their DHEA is low, and to me, low is like below 6 or below. 6 to 8 is marginal, but below 6, even though the test says that's kind of normal. And this is on the diagnostic, so everybody else's tests are a little bit off, different. But the DHEA is an important thing, and I don't think it's contraindicated at all with Hashimoto's unless you're giving it when they don't need it.
Okay. And I think that was all because I had a question about probiotics, but you already answered that. So I was wondering what's the best probiotic. So that answered that. So that was great.
Super. Thank you. Good question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So let me go back. I'll open Tracy's line again, and then I'll go and answer all the questions. And then if anybody else has questions, we'll pull them up. So let me close.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, it's Tracy again. Two quick questions. One is, have you heard of a probiotic by Organic 3 called Gut Pro?
Gut Pro. What's the company?
Organic 3.
I haven't heard of that one. I haven't.
Okay. It's used
You've
a lot.
You've got to be
with,
careful
I
with
guess.
Probiotics, and there's really easy way to test to see if your probiotics are potent. Does anybody want to know that? Maybe you already know.
Yeah, sure.
You try to make yogurt out of it. If you grind up cashews or you grind up some coconut or coconut cream and or fresh coconut, and then you add the probiotics to it and you let it set, you will see it bubble like crazy within a few hours. And within 24 hours, it has turned sour and it's bubbly and it's turned into yogurt. If your probiotics a dud, it won't work. I had a bottle of this stuff I found in the back of my fridge, and it was an expensive high-potency probiotic, but I looked at the date on it, and I'm like, oh, it's past its date. So I said, well, let's do the yogurt test on it. It was a dud. Nothing happened. Had to throw it away.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And my last question is, for someone who's dealing with adrenal exhaustion and they're wanting to do a cleanse, a juice cleanse, I was just concerned about the amount of sugar from the juice cleanse if they're not just doing, like, all green vegetables. Do you try to do something that's a little bit more healing in terms of maybe doing some steamed vegetables, and if they eat meat, putting them on some bone broth to start kind of healing the gut a little bit? Like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think you do have to be careful with putting people on too severe a cleanse when they're adrenally fatigued, because they don't have the energy to be able to handle it, right? So, and especially juices like the fruits, with fruits in there. And I don't recommend anybody do juices with more than 5 to 10% glycemic fruit, like a little bit of apple or something, just because it's way too sweet. And from my personal experience, I've discovered that even green juices, if you drink them too fast, can cause too rapid a rise in your blood sugar. So one of the a couple of ways that she can slow that down and give her body some fiber to take out the toxins is to do juices with chia in there.
Okay.
And that'll slow it down. And the other way is, like you're saying, some steamed and blended vegetables, because it's really nice to give the digestive tract a rest from solids. So steaming and then blending, you know, combination of steamed vegetables blended, juices and smoothies, and seeing where she feels the best.
So how do you feel about bone broth?
Oh, and as far as the bone broth, and again, if they are not vegetarian and they don't have any, and it's organic, made from organic, you know, free range and the whole meat, that's fine. I actually had somebody who I put her on a cleanse, and we took a long time. I was working with her for probably 9 months before we decided, okay, she's ready for a cleanse, and she was ready for it, but the juices alone weren't cutting it. So she did a combination of juice with bone broth, and she loved it. She didn't want to eat again. She loved it so much.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good question. So let's see. I'm going to go to the questions that are here. Glenn says, is vitamin K a clotting factor, or does it thin the blood? Vitamin K is an anticoagulant, so meaning that it does thin. It doesn't clot. Jan concurs that vitamin or mineral rush by Sun Warrior is excellent. Christy, good question about the VDR-TAQ SNP, the vitamin D receptors. If they have low levels of vitamin D3, can you give them high-dose vitamin D3, or is there something else that needs to be done to facilitate the ability to use it? And that's a great question. And what you'll find is that in some folks, just giving them the D3 is helpful, but they need larger amounts. And in other cases, they need to have some calcium or sulfur, like a MSM or something like that with it, because the D in a sulfated form works better, because that's what the body actually produces. So it's really a matter of seeing how they respond to it. And then the interesting thing about it is vitamin D deficiency affects cell receptors. So if you've got a receptor problem and you've got a vitamin D deficiency, it's actually going to be hurting the receptors in terms of their ability to work well. So just giving the higher dose vitamin D for a while can actually help heal the receptors. Zinc and vitamin C are also important in vitamin D receptors as well. Rukmini has, how do we share questions on the computer? It's exactly what you just did. Like where you wrote that, everybody's seeing that. So if you have a question, just type it right there, Rukmini. And Jan points out that the folate in the Vita Mineral Rush and the ones that we recommend would be in the folate form, not the synthetic form folic acid. Now, it gets confusing when you're reading labels because something might say folic acid, but then it might say folic acid as folate. And I think as manufacturers get more on to the fact that folic acid synthetic is very problematic, they'll be much more careful about their terminology. But for now, it's really it's being a discerning consumer. And if you're not sure, it's calling up the company and saying, what is the form of folic acid that you're using? And they say, well, it's folic acid. Is it synthetic? Is it natural? Is it methylated folate? All of these things, you're going to, some of these concepts may be new to you. You'll be immersed in those within the next few months, and you'll really get it as we go through. But these are good questions. And Eleanor says she has her hand raised, but I don't see it, so I'm going to open you up. Hi, Eleanor. Eleanor, you might be on mute.
I am on mute. I was on mute. I'm not on mute anymore. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
So what was it? It's asterisk 2 to raise your hand, right?
It's not a star 2. It's just a 2.
Just a 2.
But it should have taken it. I don't know why it didn't take it. But, yeah, on Instant Teleseminar, it's a star 2, and on here it's any number from 1 to 5.
Okay, so it's different on each one. Okay, I'll try to remember that next time.
Okay.
Okay, I have a client that I've been working with for the blood sugar, and I actually got them to switch doctors because the doctor that
Hang one second, Eleanor. I'm going to see if I can turn your mic up because you're very low. Let me see if I can adjust it. Okay, go ahead and speak again.
Is it better now?
Oh, much better.
Okay, good. Okay, so I was talking about my client who I've been working on, you know, with the B4 Be Gone protocol on the blood sugar, and I got him to switch doctors because his current doctor would not do a lot of the lab work that I thought we needed to do and really didn't think there was a problem that his fasting blood sugar was elevated.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to this new doctor who did several tests that we never could get done before. Turns out that his testosterone is 197. His free testosterone was 42, and then sex hormone binding globulin was 27.
So give me where that sits in the ranges, because I usually have to look at my. I don't have a memory.
Okay.
The testosterone.
It should be three. Testosterone is supposed to be. It was 197, and it should be between 300 and 890. And his free testosterone was 42, and it should be between 47 and 244.
Okay.
And then his DHEA was 66.
Yes. Hormone binding globulin, though. You said that earlier.
Oh, 27. 20, sex hormone binding globulin was 27.
And what do they give as the range for that?
13 to 71.
Okay, so
that one's normal.
It's on the low end of the range, yeah. Okay.
So he's got a thyroid problem. He's a hypothyroid. He's got low vitamin D, and his DHEA is 66. So she put him on 30 mg of DHEA that he's taking in the morning. Now, at the same time, I started taking the cafe. I put him through the assessment. He got 24%, which says things are out of balance and his adrenals need attention. And it just so happened in 2009, he took the saliva test. In 2009, he actually went to see Dr. Hyman, and they gave him the saliva test in 2009. And in 2009, his total cortisol was 28, DHEA was 2.
Ooh.
Again, he's got low DHEA, and his SIGA was depressed, less than 5, and his 17-OH progesterone was 46, which I guess is normal. There was one other thing that was low. I guess that was it. So I'm kind of, you know, doing the cafe, following the chart, he's got low cortisol, low DHEA. He's, you know, got insulin problems. He's got low SIGA. I mean, he looks like he's in stage 3.
Yeah, he's had, well, it's the 27, usually stage 3 is going to be lower than that, but he might be heading towards stage 3. But he's apparently had a problem with stress and high cortisol for a long time. To that significantly depresses DHEA and his SIG-IGA. So the question, what's your question specifically? Because I could talk about this for an hour.
I got really nervous because she's putting him on so much DHEA, and when I listened to the module, it says that can dampen his cortisol. And, I mean, his cortisol is low in the morning, which surprises me because he does have a stress issue. He gets stressed out about going to work in the morning. So I'm surprised his cortisol is low in the morning. But I'm just concerned that this high DHEA is problematic,
yeah.
And I'm concerned that he should be doing pregnenolone as well. And I actually asked her about that, and she said, well, she didn't test for progesterone, so she really doesn't know whether he needs pregnenolone. So I'm just concerned
we're
going in the wrong direction.
Test for pregnenolone, right? Because pregnenolone, it might show up normal, but that doesn't mean everything's good. It just means that it's maintaining, but you're sucking, it's called the pregnenolone steal, you're sucking it down to cortisol rather than the DHEA. So pregnenolone always helps people. I mean, there's some contraindications if people have high progesterone that you don't want to do that. But if somebody has low DHEA and low testosterone and low cortisol and high progesterone in a male, that's a little suspicious. So that's really rare. Because generally, that would say, is it all going to progesterone rather than to the others? That's a different problem, right? But I would say that you're right on to think that pregnenolone is a good idea. And generally, if I'm going to supplement with DHEA, I like to do physiologic doses, as I said in CAFE. And I like that to be somewhere in the neighborhood of, between 2 and 4 drops 3 times a day, or 2 and 5 drops 3 times a day. So given he's male, he could go on the higher end, right? And given he has low testosterone, but I would probably be looking at somewhere in the range of maybe 4 or 5 drops of, 4 or 5 milligrams of testosterone 3 times a day. So 30 is a little bit high to take all at one time. And there is definitely of concern that it would suppress, because the body's going to go, wow, 30 milligrams of DHEA, I don't have to make any more of this. I'm off the hook. Right? Versus giving physiologic doses, it fills in the gap and it doesn't suppress the bodies. And this is how I've been taught. This is how I've experienced it. So, but you're dealing with the medical doctor and you're dealing like with getting in the middle of that. So in the scheme of things, 30 milligrams is not so high. Like some of them will put them on 50 to 100. So I think the only thing that you could do with this is that test was however long ago is see what he wants to do. If he wants to go with that, go with what the doctor said, have a finite period of time, 3 months, and then do an ASI on him.
That's what she said. I actually asked her, and she said, it's not going to hurt him to do this for 3 months, and his testosterone is so low that I think it's, the right thing to do. So I don't want to take him backwards because we're working on so many things. I like to go forward on something with him.
But that's, you've got to work within the scope of where they're at. And it's great that you have a communication with her. So that's, congratulations, it's awesome. I would also be wondering why she went with supplementing it with DHEA rather than putting him on a little bit of testosterone, like address that problem.
That was really because of something that I had read that you want to try to avoid testosterone. She wanted to do that. And I wanted to do the precursors instead because of something I had read somewhere that should be your last resort is to put them on testosterone. So,
yes and no. Because of the downside of doing too much DHEA and suppressing your production of it and suppressing the cortisol, I would probably have opted, if that was within my scope, to go with the testosterone rather than the 30 milligrams of DHEA. But again, did she do blood work on him? I mean, right, she did. She did blood work, not urine or saliva. So, given that his testosterone was so low, personally, I would probably opt towards getting him a testosterone prescription for a short time, for 3 months, and then getting him on the physiologic doses of DHEA. So, right, this is stopgap measure. We want to get in there and work it. It's not like you're doing this instead of working the dietary stuff, right? You are working the dietary stuff and the precursors. Okay.
Yes.
And then the other piece,
yeah,
making sure that you're doing all that nutrition to support the adrenals. Vitamin C, pentothenic acid, zinc. Okay.
There's so much protocol he's got for the sugar, so now I have to somehow work that into the, if you're trying to do both things at the same time.
Yeah. So I would say the things that would stand out for me is making sure his vitamin C and his pentothenic acid. Do you happen to know what his cholesterol is?
The last time his cholesterol was done, it was, I have his blood work, so hold on. It was, he's on Gemfibrozole for his, it was 168 was his cholesterol.
And that's on, he's on what material, he's on cholesterol medication?
Gemfibrozole, it's for triglycerides, and he really thinks he's on it for triglycerides. And his triglycerides are 62, and his cholesterol is 168.
Yeah, it would be really behoove him. If he's having issues with high cholesterol and low steroid hormones, that says to me that the conversion isn't happening from cholesterol downstream, which stress cortisol interferes with, but also low levels of pentothenic acid. So if you want to choose one additional thing to add to his protocol on the nutritional side, I would go with the pentothenic acid, 500 milligrams three times a day.
Okay. A day, okay. That and the vitamin C. So that's basically what you said, vitamin C and the pentothenic acid, 500 mg a day. Okay.
Yep. And then see what happens after the 3 months, and then, you know, might want to consider the testosterone if it's going in the wrong direction. But it's hard to use a 3-year-old, no, 5-year-old test because things change
right.
So quickly.
And that's, I didn't know whether it was worth it to redo the test, considering that he was on DHEA. Would that screw up the whole test? So that was the other thing
After he's been on it for a while. Yeah, it would screw it up right now. But if he's on it for 3 months, then you're testing the effects of that DHEA on the system, and then you'll know what to do differently.
And why, if he's stressed, because he does have a stress issue, like you said, he's been, you know, his work stresses him out. So why is his cortisol low in the morning, though? Because he's stressed about going to work. That's his stress issue.
That says that his adrenals are burned out, that they can't even mount that elevation. That's a surefire sign that it's been there a while.
Yeah.
He feels stressed, but his body's not able to pull those levels up. That's what happens when you get that far along. And again, this is 3 years ago, 5 years ago. So you don't know that his cortisol levels are still high. And you may not have known him 5 years ago to know whether the stress levels were different and where things were. A lot changes in 5 years.
Okay. And then one other question, just changing topics here. I thought I read somewhere that if your ribs hurt on the left side, that it could be low stomach acid. Is that true? Am I remembering that right?
Well, there's a reflex point between the bottom rib in the front and the next one up that's supposed to be indicative of low stomach acid. So, I mean, those kind of things are useful, but they're not absolute. But certainly an indicator. Could be. And it depends on where. It's not just touch the rib cage. It's very specific reflex points.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so... Okay, so Mia asked, where can we find the pre-test? And that is back on the website. And Scott claims it's back. I don't know. I'm going to try it. Oh, actually, it's not in the main website. Nope, it's still redirecting for me, so I don't know. If you go to, you originally got it, it's vibrantlivingmembers.com, and you log in there. And on your right-hand side column, there should be a link to something that says NEPT pre-module or something like that. And that gives you 3 modules that are just going to be helpful as we go through things, and I can refer to that. But it's really, it's not like, it wasn't intended that you go through and memorize all those
you
things.
You asked me one more time, you don't get to play anything today.
Whoops. There you go, Eleanor. Let's see. So, yeah, so if you go there, there are three modules, which are the first three modules. And, oh, it was Tracy, not Eleanor. Whoops, I turned off the wrong mic. Oops, there you go, Tracy. All right. Okay, so where were we? Yeah, so that's how you find that, and there's just valuable information in there. Again, you'll be going through that. We'll be going through that as a group. We'll be going through some of that at the retreat next week. It's just the really good foundational stuff. Because when you learn to be really good at assessments, that's when, you know, things take off and you get a sense of where to start. So I'm going to ask Rukmini's question, and then I think we'll call it a day. I saw Heather just came on the phone, so if you have a question, Heather, go ahead and hit any number from 1 to 5 on your telephone keypad, and I'll open you up. The site is up for me, Tony. Okay, I may have to just re-clear my cache. Yay, everybody's got the site except for me. I'd rather it be that way than the other way around. Yes, so go ahead and go into your first module there, and I did a video, and there's an audio version of it, and there's the slides, and then there's two other parts to that core content. I'm really working at all the videos that we do being, goal is 20 to 30 minutes. This, some of the intro ones may be longer, but I couldn't get this one down. I think it's just under 40 minutes. But most of them are going to be between 20 and 30 minutes because personally I find if I go to a module and I go, oh, my God, it's an hour and a half. I don't have an hour and a half. I'll schedule to do it later. Whereas if I go there and I see it's a 20-minute video, I go, I can fit 20 minutes in. I'm going to watch it. And that way you can consume it in smaller chunks. It's really all in our heads because you can always stop it and then come back and do it later, make a note of where you were, fast forward it. But it's one of those mental things, and I just felt like if I was experiencing that, then a lot of you might too. And let me just put this in before I answer Rukmini's questions, is that as we go through this, if you see things or places where you feel like things could be improved, like the user interface or the way things are presented, just let us know. We can't promise that we can do all of it, and a lot of times there are things that I want to do to improve things, but it's, you know, we just don't have the technology to do it. So, but please feel free to pass that on, and Tracy's a good interface for that. If you can just interface with Tracy, Tracy has an email at my tracy@drritamarie.com or tracy@tracyneely.com or on Facebook. She'll just compile all those questions and kind of maybe take out the duplicates and pass them on to us. So, Rukmini, okay, I'll make my question here. It's about dental fillings. I want to know the dangers of composite fillings and what's the next best alternative. And what should one do immediately after removing mercury fillings to protect from toxicity? Yeah, those are great questions. So I wish there was something that I could just say beyond a shadow of a doubt is really good alternative to there's the mercury fillings and the composite fillings, and then there's composites are the white. So you've got amalgam fillings, which have the mercury. Then you've got composite fillings, which have a lot of, they've got a lot of estrogen receptor antagonists and hormone disruptors. So next after that would be porcelain. Porcelain's very expensive, or ceramic. There are a lot of alternative dentists that do compatibility testing with people to see which of those materials is going to work best for them. But ceramic or composite porcelain tend to be the best. They are expensive. They are very hard, too, very hard material. So they can cause, if somebody grinds their teeth, it can cause a lot of disruption on the teeth on the opposing jaw. And then what do you do immediately after removing fillings? I also think it's more than just immediately after, Rukmini. There's a lot of things you can do before to get your body ready, making sure that the pH balance is there, that you get the person maintaining their pH in the range of, you know, 6.8-ish versus the very low acidic range that most people are. So working on their diet, their greens, their minerals, their nutrients. Antioxidants, super important. Precursors to glutathione, vitamin A, C, E, those sorts of things, lipoic acid. There's a lot of stuff that you can do. There are some good books on the market on detox for mercury, and I'm going to grab one so I can give you the exact name. Give me one second. on. It's not where I thought it was. Let me look in another place. I have this book, and it's a dentist, a holistic dentist, that wrote a very comprehensive book on protocols for detox for mercury and amalgam and what you can do before and after. Let me look one other place. Ah, here it is. Mercury. Okay, got it. There is Dr. Tom McGuire. Dr. Tom McGuire, and he wrote a book called Mercury Detoxification. And it's an 8.5 by 11 book. It's about 169 pages, and he just goes through a lot of that process. After mercury detox, you have to make sure the person is well hydrated, is moving their bowels. Vitamin C, antioxidants, glutathione precursors, NAC, there's a lot of things. So I would recommend getting that book and really sitting down with that. It's beyond where I can go into all the details of it right now. So, yeah, so Tom McGuire, he's a DDS, and Mercury Detoxification is the name of the book. Okay. Great. So we have time for the two more questions, and then I have a sharp end at 3:30. So Eleanor and Tracy. Hi, Eleanor.
Hi. It was just a quick one because I forgot to ask you something before. My client was also tested for B12, and it turned out to be 452, and the range is 211 and 911. And she put him on 2,000, these lozenges, these B12, 2,000 lozenges, and I'm wondering why she did that. You really want them on B5, and this has B6 and B12 in it. Very little B6, just 2 mg.
Well, there's a number of things. B12, that's in the low end of the normal range, but the blood really doesn't mean a whole lot. It doesn't really an indication. So if I were wanting to know, does he need B12, I'd be looking at his MCV, and I'd be looking at his hemoglobin and hematocrit, but MCV's the biggie. And if the MCV tends towards the high end of the range, and how do you know what the range is? If you go to that pre-work module, the part 3 has a section on lab, and there's a spreadsheet. If you got, I remember at Shine, I showed the spreadsheet, and everybody's like, I want that spreadsheet. That spreadsheet is in that part 3, so you've all got that. Okay? So go in there and find that spreadsheet, load it onto your computer, and use that pop everybody's stuff into there. It'd be a little extra work for you. I cheat and I make them do it, but it's a really great learning tool. Whenever you get somebody's blood work, you pop it into that spreadsheet. And if you don't know what all those things mean, by popping it into the spreadsheet and then reading the little cheat sheet on the side that I put in there, you're going to quickly start to learn. But look at his MCV. If that's high, that could be an indication.
88.
Of,
so it's 88. 88.
Yeah, it's normal.
Yeah.
That's ideal.
Normal.
Yeah.
It looks
does he
like
have low iron?
No, it looks like all this. His hemoglobin is a normal, 14.8.
What about his RDW?
RDW is 13.1.
That's a little high. So there is some sort of anemia going on. And what about homocysteine? Did she do homocysteine?
Don't think so. No.
Those are other indications that the B12 might be off. It can hurt him. I would make sure it's a methyl or a hydroxy B12, not a cyano.
It's a hydro X carba whatever. I can't pronounce it.
Hydroxy.
It's a lot.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
To be fine. That's not going to cause any problems. So, can't hurt.
Okay, so but just get him on the B5 and the vitamin C.
Yep.
Said before. Okay, 500 mg. Okay, thank you.
Okay. And Tracy.
Hi, quick question. I you may have mentioned this in the past, but I wanted to know how you felt about colostrum, especially as it relates to autoimmune.
You know, I haven't done enough research to have an opinion one way or the other. On the one hand, I mean, colostrum is you know, that first beautiful milk that's produced by any organism to feed its young. So it's loaded with immune factors.
Yeah.
With autoimmune, I think it's tricky, and we'll go through that a lot more when we do our immune module. But with autoimmune, it can be tricky because you have to be careful about, are they a Th1 or Th2 dominant? And there's so many other factors that I would look at each individual case.
Okay.
Yeah.
But in general, you don't have an opinion on colostrum.
I know that there are some benefits to it, but I also know that there are some downsides. And I don't have a strong opinion each way. I would be evaluating each person.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. I think that's it. We've got, James said the site is up. Jane, I don't see Rukmani. Yeah, so Jane was giving Rukmini, and anybody who's outside of the country where it's harder to call in on our lines or there isn't one, a local line in your area. And I would say that if you use Skype, you can sometimes get in. We have somebody that calls in on our other calls from Australia, and she's usually able to get in using Skype. And when you do that, you use MC Direct 11. Oh, Eleanor signed in, called in as MC Direct 11. That's interesting. But if you go to Skype and then you add the contact MC Direct 1, you will, and then you call that contact, it'll ask you for your PIN number and you'll get into our live line. So give that a try if you want to, Rukmini and anybody that's out of the country. I think we had, who else was on from out of the country? Kieran. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Last chance for questions. So pop them into the chat or raise your hand. And I've got to be off the call for another, I got to be off for a call in 2 more minutes. Okay. Well, I am so very much looking forward to meeting all of you that I will meet next week. And if you're still on the fence and there's any way for you to get out here, even if you can just get out for, you know, a couple of days, it would be so awesome. So awesome to have you here. Glenn, I know you're local, and I hope you can. And Kate, if it's an issue of, you know, you drive out here for even a day or two just to connect with everybody, it would be helpful, whatever you can do. So everybody, thank you for being here, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.